And that, and, okay, our next public hearing is an ordinance to amend Chapter 115, Article 25, Subsection 115-179B of the Code of Sussex County entitled, quote, "Height Regulations," end quote, in regard to the height of certain buildings.
It's easier for me to stand up here for this one. Lawrence, do you want to read the synopsis or whatever you?
Yeah, again, the advisory commission, this ordinance modifies Section 115-179B of the Sussex County Code to only allow governmental buildings, hospitals, institutions, and schools to be built to a maximum height of 60 feet when those structures are permitted in the underlying zoning district. Churches and temples are unaffected by this amendment. It also applies to any new buildings not currently approved with a valid Sussex County building permit. I did receive three correspondence on this ordinance, and I'll just summarize what they said. One is from the county engineer, Mike Izzo, referencing that in commercial zoning, where the greater height limit will come into play, the engineering department has planned for 12 EDUs per acre. And as long as any land use plan does not exceed this density, a negative impact on our shore planning will not be realized. At the most current example of this type of development, the Colonial Oaks Motel, which I believe we referred to as the Hudson Hotel.
Right.
Yep. Did not exceed the 12 units per acre designation, and a statement of no objection was submitted by the engineering department that they will continue to review each application on a case-by-case basis. We also received a copy, and this is early on when the ordinance was first being discussed, on October 14, 2013, we received a memorandum from Diane Hansen, mayor of Dewey Beach, referencing opposition to the false interpretation that public and semi-public buildings can now be built to 60 foot in the county, and requesting that the option of a moratorium on any building currently planning to build to 60 feet and a clarifying ordinance to clarify the past history of that height limit and its original intent be investigated. That knowing that the town of Dewey Beach held a referendum vote on the height of 35 feet in 2008, and that 86% of those who voted supported this height limit be maintained. She is certain that the vast majority of people in Dewey Beach would also support that position. That the history of Sussex County has been that the height limit was 42 feet, and all developers have abided by that rule until recent. That it is inconscionable that the change was allowed to happen without any public knowledge or input. That as mayor, she had no knowledge of this change until she read it in an editorial. That such a major change in building heights, especially along Route 1, will bring total gridlock to our area. That traffic is not only an inconvenience, it is a major safety issue, as the traffic can slow down ambulances, fire trucks, police, and other emergency vehicles from attending to emergencies promptly. That as individual towns, we can control the height of buildings within our borders, but are not able to control such a major impact on our quality of life without the support of our county council and government. Okay, we also received another letter on October 15, 2013, and that was from Fenmore Homes, also known as Fenmore Holdings at Vineyards, Delaware Limited Liability Company, the ground tenant since October of 2011 of the Vineyards at Nassau Valley. That Fenmore respectfully requested that either A, the ordinance be considered for action by be revised to permit those projects which received concept or preliminary approvals and constructed buildings relying on the current ordinance be allowed to continue development under the existing ordinance, or B, the introduction of the ordinance be delayed so that interested parties such as Fenmore, which will bear the blunt of such a change, be permitted to have adequate time to present information regarding the negative impact of such a change, and that when considering the acquisition of its leasehold interest of the Vineyards, Furthermore, took into account many factors, including most importantly, the project's approval status and what the approvals permit to be built. But a key factor in analyzing the financial viability of the project was the continued ability to construct mixed-use buildings with a maximum height of 60 feet, which is a regulation utilized to construct the buildings that were in place in 2011. But those existing buildings were based on the approval that dated back to 2002 and continue to exist today. Based on this understanding, Fernmore made a significant investment at the Vineyards and that they would oppose any moratorium. And that's all I have, Mr. Robertson.
I figured I'd come up here to explain because I've appeared twice now, I think, in front of County Council to talk about the issue. The first thing, there was reference in one of the letters to a moratorium. There was some thought at the council level about imposing a moratorium while this ordinance was introduced. That never occurred. That was pretty much dealt with quickly, that they weren't going to put a moratorium into place. And despite Mayor Hansen's characterization of the issue, there's not been any change to our code that has occurred at all up to this point. And that sort of leads me into a little bit of the history that I explained to County Council, and it's probably worthwhile for you all to hear it. I think everybody knows and has dealt with the commonly held understanding that there's a 42-foot height limit. If you go to the table of district regulations in the zoning code and the individual districts in the zoning code, it talks about the 42-foot height limit. However, the question doesn't end there, and I think this is maybe where some of the confusion has developed. There's actually in the supplementary regulations for the county zoning code, there's section 115-179B, which states that except within an area defined as an airport approach zone by the FAA, public and semi-public or public service buildings or hospitals or institutions or schools, when permitted in a district, may be erected to a height not exceeding 60 feet. And then it talks about churches and temples. It also says that if you go above 42 feet, that you have to have additional setbacks for every foot over 42 that you go. So in other words, if you're at 60 feet, I guess you'd be 18 feet further back than you would ordinarily. So the key terms that were looked at, and this actually goes back to 2007 or so on a hotel in the Vineyards, was what does public and semi-public mean? And a lot of people can have their own opinions about what those words mean, but you have to look at what the Sussex County Zoning Code defines them as. And they talk about or define them as a building that's open to common use whether or not public ownership is involved. You know, everybody sort of thought, well, that means government buildings. Well, that's not what it says. It says open to common use whether or not public ownership is involved. So that means anything where the public's invited into the building. So that could mean commercial structures, you know, hotels like we've talked about, car dealerships, restaurants, you know, shopping malls, any number of things where the public's invited. And that's what the code says. And I'll take it even one step further. The term public and semi-public, that's used elsewhere in the code when we talk about conditional uses. And there's any number of business-type conditional uses that the county's approved because they're a public or semi-public character. One, when I was looking at a conditional use recently that we had, a prior borrow pit conditional use was determined to be a public or semi-public use because it benefited the public. So again, that's a pretty wide open term. And the importance of that is to show that, you know, we're looking at an existing code requirement. There's not been any change that's occurred. There's not been any quote-unquote interpretation that's happened. It's been based on exactly what the code said for probably, Lawrence, I don't know, 40 years or so. It's just one of those things that's never caught the public's interest until now. And it did. It caught County Council's interest. And so County Council now has proposed and introduced an ordinance which would change the that supplementary height regulation to state, basically deleting the reference to public and semi-public or public service buildings, and now state that it would be any buildings owned by a political subdivision of the state of Delaware, the federal government, or any agency thereof, and then continuing hospitals, institutions, or schools, they may be erected to a height not exceeding 60 feet, again, with the setback for every foot you go over 42. So basically, it was county council's decision that we want to make the code say what everybody thought it said, but it didn't necessarily say. So that's the amendment. Now, there's two points that kind of go hand in hand with this because they came up with county council. One is, like any other provision of the code, if people can satisfy the standards, they can request a variance. So, you know, if it's now 42 feet for a project you want to do and you want to go to 60, there's not anything stopping you from going to the Board of Adjustment to get a variance if you can show the basis for doing that. The other thing, which was a little bit of a surprise to county council, was that in the RPC sections of the code, there is still a provision for an RPC where, you know, as part of the design ingenuity standards that we see on RPCs, that you could come in for residential structures that exceed 42 feet as part of that RPC design. So there's still that potential out there for residential. I'm going to brought that to the attention of county council as well. So, but that's not part of this ordinance. I just bring that to your attention because everybody's been talking about height and not everybody realizes what the code actually says. So,
well, the situation is that buildings 60 feet tall have only just recently become viable considerations for Sussex County. So it's certainly understandable why this code provision never attracted much attention in the past, but it's always been there. I mean, this is no change. This isn't anything, or it's not someone's artful interpretation of the code. It's always been there. It's never been utilized for the simple fact that until recently it hasn't been economically viable to utilize it for anything other than a government building or so on. So that's why we're having the discussion. So, and that's certainly easy enough to understand, which sort of begs an interesting question, is that if buildings of that type are now becoming desirable, do we now make it more difficult to build a building that's that has become desirable, you know, in certain circumstances? And one answer to that is that I think that there is a mechanism by which someone can seek permission to build a building taller than 42 feet, and perhaps that's good enough. But that's one of the things we need to talk about tonight, gentlemen, is how we want to address this situation. I'm just concerned that there's this atmosphere of somehow we're fixing a loophole or something. That's not what's going on here. This has been in our code. My question is, what is the public good? What public good is achieved by revisiting it? Okay, why are we fixing something? Is it, you know, it's not. It's and there may be a good answer to that question. And so, but I think that's the spirit in which we have to approach the issue. It's not, oh, we're going to fix something that we're going to plug a loophole, or we're going to prevent someone's artful interpretation of the ordinance. That's not the case. But it could be good reasons to make a change, and that's what we need to talk about.
One thing too, just a point to bring up with this, and I don't know that I touched on it. You know, the use that you're going to apply that whatever height to still has to be a permitted use in that zoning district.
Obviously.
You know, I mean, and that actually says that in 179B of the code. Just, you know, I mean, obviously, if, you know, a hotel's not permitted in AR1, you can't build a 60-foot hotel in AR1. You can't build any hotel. So it's still based on the underlying use in the underlying zoning district. So
that's what we've had, is a couple hotels.
Yeah, there's been some that have been built. The one that I believe sort of got the attention of the public on this one is the Hudson Hotel on Route 1. I believe the two buildings at the Vineyards are somewhere shy of 60 feet, but they're, you know.
They were mixed-use buildings.
I'm aware of the
apartments above or condos above.
I believe it was the Heritage Inn in Rehoboth that got a height variance from 42 to 45, I believe, for a safety issue because of needing a parapet above the roof.
Yeah.
That when it was designed at 42 feet, it only had a parapet that was not this tall. which would be a pretty serious safety concern for anybody up there on the roof. So, I mean, there certainly are instances where, you know, where variances could be permitted.
As a practical matter, too, you know, it's interesting, the letter from County Engineering, that's one instance. There's going to be a lot of things that are going to dictate what you can and can't do on a site, regardless of the height. I mean, you're going to still have to comply with parking issues in the area that you've got to put the required number of parking spaces. You're going to have to deal with sewer issues. I mean, there's other, and if you go up, you know, you've got to increase your setback, so that's going to be an area issue too. So, but, you know.
And that doesn't change in the way the code's written.
No.
The way it's revised.
Yeah. So what you're being asked to do tonight is make a recommendation to state that the only buildings that would be able to go to 60 feet, you know, short of a variance that we talked about, but the only buildings that would be able to go to 60 feet would be buildings owned by a political subdivision of the state of Delaware, the federal government, or any agency, or hospitals, or institution, or schools, again, when permitted in the underlying district.
Or we could say, just leave it the way it is.
Yeah, I mean, you could certainly say, just leave, you know, the code as it's currently worded.
The state be considered a political subdivision?
Well, that's
referring to all the municipalities. Yeah. We don't have any jurisdiction. It would have to be the state.
Yeah.
Or the county.
Yeah.
Or the county. Sure.
Okay, gentlemen, floor is open.
I have some concern over the 60-foot height in that how does it affect the sewer? You know, we're always talking about sewer capacity. Well, if you go from 42 feet to 60 feet, what does that do to sewer capacity?
Well, Mr. Izzo references that if there's a commercial district, they've designed the sewer capacity based on the land use plan in the current zoning, which allows for 12 units to the acre as multifamily. There's also a change in the number of units in a motel, still 12 units per acre, but there's a less than one per unit or per room, so there's more than 12. But it still comes out the same calculation overall. They're not going to grant more than 12 per. And I think the Hudsons, they said in their letter, was that it complies with 12.
That's what he read, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he said. So if you got motel rooms, you get more rooms than you get if it's a dwelling unit. But it still calculates the same on the way that you use calculations of the sewer, the water and sewer use. So it won't be 12 rooms. It'll be more than 12 rooms. I don't know what that number is. I asked him late this afternoon. And
but the sewer capacity, like what Mike Izzo was talking about, I mean, you've got three pots in the sewer discussion. You've got the allocated pot, which is how the system was designed based on zoning and allocations. You've got the committed pot, which are projects that have been committed but aren't hooked up to the sewer. They haven't been built out. That's part of the discussion about project approvals expiring or not expiring. They're here one day, they're gone the next. We'll talk about that next year sometime probably. And then you've got the used pot, what's actually hooked up and in use. And then you have the measurement of, is the used gallons per EDU actually matching the planned gallons per EDU? And usually it's over-engineered. So I don't think restricting someone that wants to put in a project or development that might be above the EDUs that were allocated is a huge deal when every sewer district in the county is operating, give or take, at 50% or less capacity. Capacity is not an issue. It's an allocation versus committed versus used discussion. And in fact, it actually hurts the residents or the people in a sewer district by not accepting those EDUs, because just allocating doesn't bring any money into the district. Even committing doesn't bring any money into the district. So it's just a matter of, is the county going to be committed at the time that that system starts to get full to go ahead and expand it out to meet its commitment to those people that have been paying fees because they were in a district. So the county has to meet its commitment. So I don't think the sewer is that block to the discussion as it pertains to this. I'm told that if you want to do a hotel in today's economics, you got to go to 60 feet or you're not going to get it done because it just doesn't work because of the economics of the building. I don't know. I'm not a hotel person, but I will say this from my perspective. One, I have trees taller than 60 feet on my farm. Two, I don't see how we can ever think about doing any kind of public transit, mass transit. We're not going to have mass transit, okay? It's not going to happen because we don't have the density of people. But public transit we have, and we're trying to promote. And to have public transit, you have to have transit hubs. You know, you have to have places where at least some threshold of people can gather and switch buses, bus stops, or whatever. But these are going to be basically in higher densities, not high densities, but higher densities situation. And maybe these hotels are a good place for that, you know, or whatever. It seems like the only applications we're getting are for hotels, not for 10-story shopping centers or 10-story car marts. I mean, it's for hotels. And I don't see, from my perspective, what's being harmed in today's environment by a hotel wanting to go in and go 60 feet. And if you come by my office, Vince has been there, I have trees 60 feet tall, you know, on my farm because I have a tree farm, you know, give or take, including the canopy, maybe, but they're that tall. So it's a New York skyscraper type thing. I just don't see the issue with what we have. We're not getting 100 applications for, you know, 60-foot tall buildings, and in some ways it could actually help us.
Who's upset about this? Who's upset about this?
It's gotten a lot of attention, you know, in the media, I would say. I don't know, you know, that there's, well, certainly Mayor Hansen seems to be, and, you know, there's been some other folks that are upset about it.
I didn't know if there was a project that triggered all this.
I think it's the Hudson Hotel that got the attention. I don't know, you know. Okay. So, I mean, that's not built yet.
Now, when you think of the history of height restriction, and you think back to 1971 when zoning was first being conceived and so on, and people were watching what was going on in Ocean City and then watching what was going on at Sea Colony, you can certainly understand why they wanted to restrict the height of buildings. I mean, that makes perfect sense, then makes perfect sense today, you know, especially for applications that are you know, on the seashore, for instance. And perhaps you know, near other you know, public areas, I think that there's probably maybe a better solution than what's been offered at this point. But again, it'll have to be thoughtful, and it won't be real. It may not be simple. You know, it may have several components to it. You may want to restrict height within so many feet of the ocean or of a body of water or of a street, but you know, and then in other places you might find, for instance, in that project in particular, if you look at where it is, you have to ask yourself, who is being harmed by that building being 60 feet tall? I mean, it's on a commercial strip. It's back off the road, you know. In my mind, I don't quite understand what the negative impact is. And people are not going to build buildings taller just because they want to. The building height bears a relationship to land cost. I mean, why do you think you have skyscrapers in big cities? It's because the land sells for thousands of dollars a square foot. That's why. You know, that's why. You're not going to see that here anytime soon, but you're going to begin to see some pressure for taller buildings, you know, as land becomes more expensive. So it seems to me that there could be a more comprehensive answer than what's been proposed.
Well, keep in mind that what's been proposed is just changing it. So unless you're a school, a hospital institution, or government, you're at 42 feet. So,
well, yeah. A more accommodating answer. Yeah. Maybe would be a better choice of words. More accommodating answer. It just seems as though we have this provision in the code, and now all of a sudden if somebody wants to use it, well, we don't want to have it anymore, you know. And I'm just a little concerned about that. But I certainly would not be in favor of just a wholesale change of 42 to 60. I think that's equally as bad. But there certainly could be instances where a 60-foot building would be permitted or even desirable beyond what has been described in in what's proposed. And that's just my suggestion. Now, I want to remind everybody, this is a public hearing. We're going to talk. We're going to ask the public for their input. We do not have to reach a decision this evening on this. We can defer action on it and give it further consideration at another time. So, anyone else?
But basically, Mr. Chairman, we're talking about one more story.
Well, here's the thing. You can do the way you can build a hotel, for instance, with 8-foot ceilings. You can 8-9-foot ceilings in 42 feet. You can get 4 floors because usually your first floor is going to be a little bit taller, okay? But the interstitial space, the space between the floors, okay, necessarily has to be restricted, okay? And it restricts the construction type that you can use. It restricts where you can put air ducts. It's if you're going to put that much, you're going to get that many floors in that little bit of space. The most I think you could get in a 60-foot building would be six, and it would have to be 6 squatty floors. But it gets done, because of that regulation. I think that there are folks who, if they could build to 60 feet, for instance, still might only do 5 floors because that gives you 12 feet. 12 feet per floor, so you can have a higher ceiling. You can have some space in between. It opens up the type of construction methods that are available to you because you don't have to try to design to a very small space. There are other issues that are involved. Invariably, you're going to get the person that's going to stuff everything in that height that they possibly can, and will try to squeeze 6 floors in 60. I think it'd be hard to do, but
but from the standpoint of
somebody will try it,
but perhaps from the standpoint of apartments that would make it more accommodating in terms of
I don't think, because that's not a public or public service use when we're talking about apartments, because you're not inviting the public.
Retail on the first floor and
four floors
on top.
The point of the discussion is that there might be a better way to do this that would include this type of, this type of use, that in a certain given set of circumstances, for apartment buildings, for instance, this would be permitted. It's expensive to build up commercially. It's expensive to go up, and you do it when you don't have the ability to go out, to make it wider. Again, it's land use restrictions and land price is really what dictates it more than anything else.
But perhaps if you do have the 60 foot, perhaps that'll reduce some of the sprawl that you might have from having if you want the same number of units, you're going to be utilizing more land.
It could be that you would write your code to encourage that. In other words, to discourage sprawl, you could provide an incentive to avoid sprawl. But you would have to do those things carefully. You can't just, we're always looking for the simple answer. Everything's going to be 42. Everything's going to be 60. All buffers are going to be 50 feet. The Inland Bays people came in here and gave us wonderful science about buffers, but it wasn't easy. It wasn't simple, but it was accurate. And what's our buffer requirement today? Still 50 feet. So I may be, tilting at windmills here, but I think there's a better way.
Well, I think probably at this point, unless there's other discussion from the commission, we do have to open it up for
the
public.
Yes, we do.
And again, this is a recommendation to county council, so you can either make that recommendation tonight or mull over it and maybe give a recommendation one way or the other, maybe with some advice on how you'd like to see things go even, you know, in addition to what this is. But anyway, I'll step aside to see if there's anybody.
Okay, is there anyone that would like to speak? This is neither for nor against. This is just in interest, in the interest of the height regulation. Don't all rush up here at once. Okay. Any further discussion with the commission?
Mr. Chairman, I agree that a more comprehensive approach. I'd like to have some time to think about it a little bit, and maybe we can discuss it as a commission again on another occasion.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay, there being no none other, we'll close the public hearing move on to the next item, which is the